Good morning, everybody. It's great to join with you all again this morning. How are you doing? How are you getting on with things? What are you finding to do during this time? Well, I don't know about you, but on a very personal level, I've been spending more time with God during the lockdown. More time reading my Bible, more time praying, more time listening for the voice of God. In fact, in general, more time on my relationship with God. I hope that you have been too. I hope you've been putting aside time to spend with God. Now, it does seem that we might be coming towards the end of our enforced lockdown. Of course, it may take some time for things to level out, but things are changing. There has been some relaxing of some of the things going on. There are more freedoms now. I'm hoping that this will lead to us being able to gather together again soon. Perhaps even sometime next month. Wouldn't that be great? Keep an eye and an ear open and pray about this too. And there is a sense in which we ourselves need to be preparing for this to happen, preparing for a new way of coming back together, a new way of being the gathered church, a new way of doing things and a new way of engaging with God, and also perhaps a new way of shining his light for others to see in the communities in which God has placed us. Please would you ponder these things in the days ahead? And let's all continually renew and deepen our relationship with him. Now, to help and encourage us in this, we're going to start by looking at some of the people we find in the Bible. This is a new series starting today about some of these folks, seeing how most of the people that we're going to read about were very ordinary people who God used in extraordinary ways. Today, as we start this, we're going to consider someone from the Old Testament, Daniel. Our reading is Daniel chapter 6. Now, I don't intend to sit here and read the whole chapter to you, but if you could read it yourselves at this point, it would really help. So grab your Bibles and read away, and then we'll continue. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is a wonderful example of someone who was sustained, he was looked after and protected by God's power. Daniel also provides us with a wonderful example of what it is like to live in a society that wants nothing to do with either God or his word. As we look at Daniel's life, he can teach us how to live in the society that we find ourselves in a world that doesn't want to know about God. And in a sense, he shows us how we can be in the world, but not of the world. He shows us a way that we can separate ourselves from the grip of the world. Daniel also shows us how to make an impact on the people and communities around us for the cause of God's kingdom. You see, Daniel was a person of prayer. In every circumstance, in every situation, Daniel sought God in prayer. He was also a man who relied entirely on God's power. Proverbs 24 verse 10 reminds us, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? But Daniel relied on God's strength rather than his own. And this is what we're called to do as well. To live in the power of God's mighty strength rather than bumbling along in our own weakness. And how does Daniel display this to us? How do we see that he relies on God's strength? Well, we see it when even in the face of adversity, even when he was living in troubled times, even when he suffered, even when a decree was made that everyone should only pray to King Darius, Daniel continued to pray to his all-powerful God. Daniel 6 verses 3 to 5 tells us that Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all of the other regional governors and high officers that King Darius had. And because of Daniel's great ability, the king was making plans to put him in charge of the whole empire. Now, as you can imagine, This didn't go down well with the other existing governors and high officers, so they began searching for some way in which they could put Daniel down, some fault that he had, something they could report back to the king and stop him from being appointed to this top job. But you know what? They couldn't find anything to criticise or condemn about Daniel. He was faithful, he was responsible, and he was completely trustworthy. So they concluded that their only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel would be in connection with his beliefs. Now, in your workplace, would your employer see that in you? In the environment where God has placed you, do your friends, do your neighbours, even your own family, see these traits in you? The king trusted Daniel so much that he was thinking about putting Daniel in charge of everything. Would your boss think about that for you? Would your friends and neighbours think you were the right sort of person to be doing this sort of job? The other officers wanted to find some way to get Daniel out of the king's good books. They wanted to dig up some sort of dirt on Daniel. They wanted to find something that would put him in a bad light. They wanted to find something that he was doing wrong, but they couldn't find anything wrong. Nothing at all. They could find no fault because Daniel was faithful. He didn't abuse the power he had already been given. Daniel distinguished himself from everyone else. He was distinctive in his difference. It was almost like he glittered and shone compared to everyone else. I was trying to think of a modern day comparison to this sort of thing, and all I could come up with was something like this. It would be a bit like finding an MP who didn't fiddle their expenses. It'd be a bit like finding an MP who only did the right things in Parliament, or who only pursued that which they knew was the best for the people of our country or this world. You know, the stuff of dreams rather than reality. But Daniel was different. Daniel was willing in everything that he did to go the extra mile. In everything he did, he always put God first and was always faithful to him. That was the defining difference. I suppose we could say Daniel was a man with a distinctive character, distinctive in how he worked, distinctive in how he lived, and distinctive in his relationship with regard to serving God. Now, sadly, there are some people in the world who will resent the achievements of other people. Maybe that resentment is fueled by jealousy or greed or hate. Or maybe their resentment is rooted in their own lack of achievement or determination. Daniel was a man of faith, and he worked hard at both following his God and doing his job to the very best of his ability. The governors and officials thought it was the king who controlled Daniel's destiny. That's why they tried to find some way to put him down to the king. But the truth is this. It was God and God alone who had the power to control Daniel's destiny. And of course, the same is true for you and I. We might like to think that we've got total control over everything that we do. But the reality is that if we are living for God, then God commands our destiny, not us. In this world, we're going to encounter people who will not like the fact that we are Christians. They won't like the fact that we don't live the way they live. They won't like the fact that we live to follow God's will, to follow God's purposes for our lives. We will come across people who will hate that we say that the Bible is the truth and that we seek to obey and live by God's word. In John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said himself, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first." Sadly, there are also those who will hate us because we believe that Jesus is real, that he died, that he rose from the grave, and that repenting of sin and trusting in him as Lord and Saviour is the only way to be saved. In June 2020, as I look around, I see that even in this country, we're living in a society that has largely become anti-God, anti-Bible, and anti-Christian. Yet, we still have a choice to make. How are we going to live our lives? Choose to be like Daniel. Choose to stand firm in the faith. We are Christians, disciples of Jesus. We may not be perfect, indeed we won't be. We'll make wrong decisions. We'll fail and we'll fall. We'll stumble and we'll struggle. But God is right there with us. You know, I got really condemned fairly recently by something that somebody had said to me. And in that moment, I realised that I'm a mess. But at the same moment, I heard God's reassurance. I am his mess. And in his power, he can turn my mess into his masterpiece. Now, since the other rulers and leaders couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel, they looked to his relationship with God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5 tells us, "Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" What an incredible statement. They realised that the only way to get at Daniel was to interfere with his relationship with God. They've watched Daniel. They know that he's a man of faith. They know that he's a man of prayer. So they set in motion this plan of deception to somehow regulate prayer and cause Daniel to be in error and at fault. And that really struck me. Regulated prayer. Even here in the 6th century before Christ, prayer was being regulated. It's nothing new. The government officials of Daniel's day were attempted to have people pray in a particular way into a particular thing, if at all, just like it seems to be the case today. Daniel chapter 6, verses 6 to 9 tell us what went on. "So these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.' The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisers and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing." For their plan to work, the officials needed to actually deceive the king. So they approach him behind a smoke screen. They're hypocrites. They're wearing masks. They come with an agenda. They come to the king saying, "Long live King Darius." But they don't care about the king. They're only interested in getting what they wanted from him. "We are all in agreement," they said. "Make a law that will be strictly enforced that any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, will be thrown into the den of lions." Here's a lie in what they said. "We are all in agreement." This is not the truth. What they really mean is all who were opposed to Daniel. All that had met together to find fault and error in Daniel. All who had this own, their own agenda, wanting power for themselves. That's the all they're referring to. And what do they propose? No praying to anyone except Darius. I wonder how many of the officials would actually have followed the law themselves. I wonder how many of them prayed at all. But it was not prayers to the king they were really seeking. What they were seeking was the downfall of Daniel. Prayer was not their motive. Pronouncement of judgment against Daniel was their aim. And it seems that there was no hesitation from King Darius in signing this decree, in writing it up as a law. Maybe he signed it with a pride-filled heart. I'm the king. I have the power. Everyone should pray only to me. So he signs a law that even he, as king, would be subject to and unable to change. And you know, that made me think. I wonder, does this mean that Darius had to pray to himself? And if he did, what did he pray? And did he answer his own prayers? The officials had managed to deceive the king. They knew full well that Daniel would continue to keep his uncompromising commitment to God. They thought Daniel's days would be numbered. If Daniel chose to be less committed to God for 30 days, their plan would fail. Their plan was dependent on Daniel being a man of faith and commitment to his God. Daniel 6 verse 10 tells us what happened. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. You know, it struck me that on his way back home that day, Daniel had three choices. First, he could choose not to pray at all. Humanly speaking, perhaps this would have been the safest option. It would mean that he would not spend time in fellowship with his God, but at least he would not be thrown to a den of lions. Secondly, Daniel could have chosen to keep his window closed and prayed in secret. Yes, he would still have remained in fellowship with God, but he would also have hidden his faith from those around him. And his third option was to trust his powerful God and to continue to live as a man of faith and continue to pray, regardless of what would happen if he violated the law of King Darius. And what did Daniel choose? He chose to go home and pray. Not to King Darius, but to his all-powerful God. Daniel went to his upstairs room. He went to his usual place for prayer. Daniel communicated with God with both an open heart and with open windows. Daniel purposely opened his windows. Daniel chose to pray openly for all to see, not in a prideful way, but as an example. Daniel gives us a great example of what prayer is all about. You see, for me, there is so much to learn in what Daniel does. The first thing we see is that Daniel stilled himself before God. He didn't rush off some sort of quick, perfunctory prayer while he was half distracted doing something else. Daniel went to his normal place, and there he knelt down. Daniel humbled himself before God. And this is the position of prayer: humility. Three times Daniel prayed every day. This shows his willingness to be persistent in prayer too. He prayed, then he prayed, and then he prayed again. This should be the practice of prayer, persistence. Daniel also gave thanks to God. Thanks for what? We're not told. I wonder, would he have thanked God for the situation that he was in even now? Or was he thanking God for the deliverance that was still yet to come? We don't know. But what we do know was that Daniel prayed with a thankful heart. Daniel remained faithful and praised God in the midst of the circumstance that he found himself in. And this should be the attitude of prayer for us as well. Thankfulness. Do we faithfully thank God in the midst of our circumstances? Have you sought God in the circumstances you find yourselves in right now? in the midst of the pandemic, in all that is going on in your life, in all that is happening in the world. Daniel was accustomed to praying about everything. Daniel had developed a prayer life from an early age, so he continued to pray even when it was tough to do so. He continued to pray just as he always had done. And in that, folks, I want to say, if you're a parent or a grandparent, even a grandparent, a great-grandparent, may I encourage you to build prayer into these children's lives. Not just the perfunctory prayers, not just a quick prayer of thank you for this food, but encourage the younger ones to talk about God, to talk to God, to be faithful in prayer to our faithful and powerful God. Jude chapter 1, verses 20 to 21 says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Daniel was committed to praying to his powerful God. Daniel was committed to seeking the mercy of God. And this should be the form of our prayer, that it becomes customary, it becomes a holy habit, it becomes a part of who we are, that prayer is something that defines us, that people know that we are people who pray. Daniel was an ordinary man with an extraordinarily powerful God. May we also be powerful people of prayer as we rely on our all-powerful God. As we come to a close now, let me remind you of the rest of this narrative. Daniel 6, verse 13 continues the account. And they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." Darius was troubled by this. He didn't want anything to happen to Daniel, but even he had to obey the decree he had signed. And so, Daniel is found guilty of praying to his God and is thrown into the den of hungry lions to be eaten. It's interesting what the king said to Daniel in Daniel 6:16. "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Doesn't it seem from what he said that he wanted Daniel to be saved? There's further proof of this. I think often we miss at this point what King Darius was actually doing whilst Daniel was in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6 verses 17 to 20 tell us. "A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?'" It seems that somewhere during his sleepless night of fasting, Darius realized that Daniel's God was the true and living God. Then in Daniel 6:21-23, it tells us, "Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.' The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God." The final thought for this morning is this. To be powerful people of God, we need to be people who rely on God, and specifically, we need to be people of prayer. People who pray humbly, persistently, thankfully, and often. Take time over this next few weeks to build on your prayer life. You have an opportunity even now to pray like you've never prayed before. May God empower us all to be like Daniel, trusting him in every circumstance and bringing everything to him in prayer, that our relationship with God would be a relationship of prayer. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for Daniel. Thank you for his example to us. Thank you that he was a man who was faithful to you, who relied on your power, not his own, and a man of real prayer. Lord God, may we be found to be the same. Would you encourage us in our walk with you? Would you encourage us and empower us as we pray to you? Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you come and move amongst us mightily? That, Lord, as we are now considering when we can come back together, considering being the gathered church once more, that, Lord God, we might engage with you, that we might know what it is that you are calling us to do, how we might do things differently for the future, and how we might become a people of power in you, Lord. Your power, not ours. Lord, encourage us all this day, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.